The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937, by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up from BeMyEyes.com, Be My Eyes and Amtrak partner to pilot innovative visual interpretation technology for blind and low vision passengers. Live visual support aims to transform the rail experience at major U.S. train stations. Posted August 6th. San Francisco, California, and Washington, D.C. Be My Eyes, the world's leading customer accessibility management platform for people who are blind or have low vision, today announced a partnership with Amtrak to launch a pilot program that brings on-demand visual interpretation to blind and low vision passengers at key Amtrak stations. The initiative will allow passengers to access live real-time assistance from trained visual interpreters via the Be My Eyes mobile app, providing support with navigating station environments, finding gates, reading signs, and more, all through the user's smartphone camera. "We're thrilled to partner with Amtrak on this transformative pilot," said Mike Buckley, CEO of Be My Eyes. "For blind and low vision passengers, a seamless station experience can be the difference between frustration and freedom. Our mission is to make the world more accessible, and that starts with public transportation." The 3-month pilot, launching this summer, will deploy the service at 16 stations in the Northeast Corridor, including high traffic hubs such as New York Penn Station, Philadelphia 30th Street Station, Boston South Station, and Washington Union Station. These locations were selected to provide data across a range of environments. The project itself is part of a wider initiative within Amtrak to enhance the travel experience for blind and low vision passengers and to make Amtrak a more equitable and independent travel option for passengers preferring greater autonomy rather than solely relying on staff assistance. Amtrak is committed to delivering an inclusive and independent travel experience for all our customers, said Dr. David Handera, Vice President of Accessibility and Customer Service at Amtrak. "This pilot is a major step forward in breaking down barriers to travel for blind and low vision passengers and demonstrates our commitment to equity, accessibility, and innovation." The service will be provided at no cost to passengers and will be accessible via the Be My Eyes app on iOS and Android devices. Agents responding to requests through the Be My Eyes software platform are trained professionals who deliver high-quality visual interpretation through secure real-time video connections. Upon opening the app, customers will be able to select the service directory option and look for Amtrak under Travel and Transportation. Pending the results of the pilot, which will be assessed through usage metrics, rider feedback, and operational performance, Amtrak and Be My Eyes may expand the program nationwide across Amtrak's network of stations. About Be My Eyes, launched in 2015, Be My Eyes is a globally recognized and award-winning access technology provider for people who are blind or have low vision. With a global community of over 800,000 users and over 8.5 million volunteers, Be My Eyes connects blind and low vision users with volunteers, professional agents, and companies through live video and artificial intelligence, AI, to tackle inaccessible parts of everyday life, whether at home or at work, and all for free to the end user. Be My Eyes is available in more than 150 countries worldwide, and its volunteers speak more than 180 languages. To learn more, please visit BeMyEyes.com and BeMyEyes.com/business, or join us on LinkedIn, X, Facebook, Instagram, Mastodon, Threads, Blue Sky, and TikTok. About Amtrak. The National Railroad Passenger Corporation, Amtrak, is a vital part of the nation's transportation infrastructure, operating more than 300 trains daily to over 500 destinations across 46 states. Amtrak is committed to providing a safe, reliable, and accessible travel experience for all passengers. Learn more at www.amtrak.com. Media contacts, Be My Eyes, press at bemyeyes.com. Amtrak Media Relations, mediarelations@amtrak.com. From ACB.org, ACB recognizes the 60th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. On this day in 1965, the Voting Rights Act was signed into law, establishing critical protections for voters with disabilities, including the right to receive help from a person of their choosing at the polls. This landmark law also outlawed discriminatory voting practices for all citizens. ACB continues to advocate for accessible voting at every stage of the process, from in-person voting to remote options. Our efforts build on the foundation laid by the Voting Rights Act, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and the Help America Vote Act to ensure that people who are blind or have low vision can fully participate in our democracy. Explore ACB's voting initiatives and find helpful resources at https://www.acb.org/voting, posted August 6th. From ACLU.org, accessible voting is under attack 35 years after the ADA. Article by Shayla A. Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L. Editor's note, Shayla Mitchell is the election protection organizer for the ACLU of Alabama. She works every day to ensure Alabamians can access the polls freely, safely, and fairly. Her motto is local is vocal. As a black organizer and disability advocate, she has seen how local attacks on voter access can become a national precedent. Consider your election protection bestie if you ever visit Alabama. The civil rights movement began in humble living rooms, at busy lunch counters, and across church pews in Alabama, where people gathered to demand a voice in democracy. The Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, signed into law July 26, 1990, is part of that same tradition. The ADA stands on the shoulders of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965, carving out legal protections so people with disabilities could fully participate in public life, whether that's gaining employment or casting a ballot. This July, the ACLU commemorates the 35th anniversary of the ADA, recognizing it as a living civil rights protection that we will never stop fighting to uphold. The ADA prohibits discrimination against people with disabilities in all areas of public life. It promises access to employment, government services, public spaces, and crucially, the ballot box. Yet here in Alabama and across the country, these promises are fragile. At the ACLU of Alabama, we know that voting rights are disability rights. In 2024, nearly 30% of Alabama's electorate fell under the ADA's protection. Nationally, 1 in 5 eligible voters live with a disability, but the simple act of voting, from accessing a polling place to mailing a ballot, remains a battleground. The ACLU of Alabama works every day to ensure that the promise of the ADA reaches the voting booth. And this year's anniversary is a call to action. From restrictive legislation to inaccessible voting places, barriers still undermine the rights of voters with disabilities. Right now, 3 major threats could affect us all on Election Day and highlight why defending the ADA remains crucial. The fight against Alabama's SB1. One of the most urgent threats came in March 2024 when Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signed Senate Bill 1 into law. Under Senate Bill 1, organizations assisting a voter with requesting, filling out, or delivering an absentee ballot application could face criminal charges with penalties of up to 20 years in prison. The law's vague language labels even small acts of kindness, like giving a neighbor gas money to drive their ballot to the post office, as potential gifts and criminal offenses. During public hearings, the law's sponsors made it clear they intend to criminalize the assistance on which voters with disabilities often rely. Ironically, these same lawmakers represent districts where absentee voting has historically been common, with averages as high as 72%. In the months since SB1 passed, absentee voting participation in Alabama has plummeted. Nationally, SB1 has sent a chilling message, helping people exercise their right to vote, even when required by federal law like the ADA, could now carry legal risk. For voters with disabilities who frequently rely on trusted friends or organizations for ballot assistance, this legislation amounts to voter suppression by another name. The ongoing crisis of inaccessible polling places. In 2024, the Alabama Election Protection Coalition identified polling sites with broken or absent ramps, doors that couldn't be opened without significant force, hazardous mold, and inadequate lighting. These conditions violated the ADA and deterred voter participation. Through direct advocacy, counties across Alabama were compelled to conduct ADA compliance audits of their polling places. But we quickly discovered another gap. There was no centralized, reliable public list of polling locations anywhere in the state. Even the Secretary of State's office lacked a comprehensive listing 6 months before the primary election. To fill this gap, the ACLU of Alabama partnered with the Legal Defense Fund's Black Voters on the Rise program and Rollin' to the Polls to create a nonpartisan statewide polling location directory. This resource now informs voter mobilization efforts, helps protect against disenfranchisement, and guides our targeted advocacy for ADA compliance in underperforming counties. We're pushing forward with strategies to ensure every voter can safely and confidently pass their access their polling place, especially in Alabama's Black Belt, where infrastructure often lags behind. That means relocating inaccessible polls, consolidating polling places for efficiency, and ensuring compliance through direct engagement with local election officials. Rising obstacles to vote across the country. The threats to voters with disabilities aren't confined to Alabama. The Trump administration's March 2025 executive order on protecting the integrity of American elections and the House's passage of the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, or the SAVE Act, have both raised alarms among disability rights advocates. These measures expand avenues for disenfranchisement, with consequences for voters covered under the ADA. In May 2025, a federal court ruled in Milligan v. Allen that Alabama's legislative maps intentionally disenfranchised Black voters, yet similar fights continue in Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, and beyond. Voter ID laws and inaccessible government buildings further compound the barriers. For many, updating voter registration requires physical access to offices they can't safely enter. We must defend the ADA's legacy. These threats underscore why the ADA's 35th anniversary is more than ceremonial. In Alabama and across the Deep South, we've seen how local attacks on disability access become the national precedent. Safe, fair, and accessible elections aren't a privilege. They're a right protected by the ADA. For 35 years, this law has been a lifeline. Our job now is to ensure it stays that way for the next 35 years and beyond. At the ACLU, we are proud to stand alongside advocates from Rev Up, AAPD, Alabama Disabilities Advocacy Program, ADAP, League of Women Voters, LWV, NAACP, Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, Stand Up Mobile, Greater Birmingham Ministries, GBM, and Restore Your Vote, to fight for our voting rights in courtrooms, legislatures, and at every polling place. Together, we remind people that democracy is for everyone. From ACB.org, Flixbus and Greyhound Discrimination. The Justice Department's Civil Rights Division announced today that it has launched an investigation into Flixbus, F-L-I-X-B-U-S, and Greyhound bus lines to determine compliance with the ADA. The department opened this investigation after receiving complaints that Flixbus and Greyhound violated the ADA rights of people with disabilities. Complaints alleged that Flixbus and Greyhound failed to properly maintain lifts on buses, refused to assist passengers with disabilities with using lifts, refused to allow service animals to accompany passengers with disabilities, or improperly asked for documentation, abandoned customers with disabilities between legs of their journey, and failed to allow and assist passengers with disabilities to leave and return to the bus at rest stops, among other allegations. If you believe you have been a victim of disability discrimination by Flixbus or Greyhound, please file a complaint with the Civil Rights Division online at https://www.ada.gov/file-a-complaint/. Or by calling the department's toll-free ADA information line at 1-800-514-0301 And if you're hearing impaired, 1-833-610-1264. Posted August 8th. From CBSNews.com, how a new airline seat from Colorado Lab could change your next flight. Game changer for wheelchair users. Updated June 10th. New airline seats from a lab in Golden could change the way people travel by plane. The new design from Molon Lab Seating in Golden, that's M-O-L-O-N-L-A-B-E, seating, is called the Freedom Seat and aims to make flying more accessible for people with disabilities. These new chairs can slide on top of one another and lock in to allow wheelchair users the space to fly in their own chair, all without taking up any additional space for other passengers. Right now, when wheelchair users board a plane, many have to transfer to an aisle seat and check their personal wheelchairs. This can be hard for the passenger, the employees, and can result in airlines damaging thousands of personal wheelchairs every year. In fact, the American Association of People with Disabilities has stated that in the past, an estimated 1 in 10 disabled people do not fly because of fear of damage to their equipment. Curtis Wolf, W-O-L-F-F, is paralyzed and has experienced many of those frustrations himself when he travels in his motorized wheelchair to get around. I'm pretty limited when I can do it. I really plan for a lot of extra cost, a lot of extra hassle, Wolf said. Wolf says he travels fairly often, but not every airline or airport is all that accommodating. They don't have the equipment to do transfers like a lifting sling. They say they know how, but they're always in such a big hurry that they don't take care. They basically treat you like a sack of potatoes, Wolf said. Once, Wolf said he was physically stuck at the gate after landing when his checked chair was damaged during his flight. They disconnected the controller wire. They had no idea how to put it back together, so there I am waiting for someone to come in, Wolf said. Now, Molon Lab Seating CEO Hank Scott, S-C-O-T-T, is hoping he can help solve that problem with the new Freedom Seat. What we offer is the ability to convert the double seat into a single, and then park a wheelchair and secure the wheelchair right next to a passenger, Scott demonstrated. Wolf then came with CBS Colorado to Molon Lab Seating to be the very first person to try it out. We basically unlock it, slide it across. This is still a fully functioning seat. Now Kurt can actually move back into his spot where we can secure him, Scott said. Wolf's wheelchair would then be secured to a plate underneath the floor to be strapped in. Scott shared that airline seats are the most expensive real estate in the world, so he emphasized that this solution doesn't take up any more space than the seat next to it. In fact, when the Freedom Seat slides together, it also gives the seated passenger a bit more height, which means more legroom. This new system also no longer requires Wolf to check his wheelchair. Wolf explained that this solution would help bring some feeling of normalcy and reliability to his flying experience. These are my legs, and there's no instant repair of wheels or armrests or things like that. So there's a whole lot of other stuff that would be saved, besides just the convenience of staying in my own chair, Wolf said. Scott has worked on this design for years and most recently worked with graduate students at CU Boulder for months to review and complete the product. Scott said the seat's functionality was designed to be simple so that flight attendants would be able to help passengers board easily. And because the seat does not take up any extra space that a first or business class seat, Scott explained that airlines can put in as many Freedom Seats as they want on a flight, without necessarily restricting other passengers. You can do several rows, so you could have an entire, just say a disabled basketball team. You could have the whole team on the plane. There's no limit, really, Scott said. Molon Lab Seating is already in talks with Boeing and other airlines to get the seat in planes. And while Wolf may have been the first to use this chair, he hopes not to be the last. I would like the executives to spend one day in my chair, Wolf said. Little inconveniences are major for me, and a little inconvenience like this is huge. It's a game changer. And the Freedom Seat isn't the only product Scott is pitching to airlines, as he's already made a product that gives the middle passenger the biggest seat in the row. He's hoping airlines will hop on board in the next few months. There, your reporter, Sarah Horbachwicz, H-O-R-B-A-C-E-W-I-C-Z, specializes in covering stories in Boulder and Broomfield counties. Share your story ideas with her by sending an email to yourreporter@cbs.com. From fightingblindness.org. Perseverance of a 6-time Paralympian, from their Beacon Stories. Lisa Shikoski of Fort Wayne, Indiana, that's spelled C-Z-E-C-H, like Czechoslovakia, O-W-S-K-I, makes balancing her life between her family, her work at Turnstone Center for Children and Adults with Disabilities, and her remarkable career as a 6-time goalball Paralympian seem effortless. Born with nystagmus and later diagnosed with achromatopsia, Lisa always remembers having challenges with her vision, but it wasn't until 2017 that she was finally diagnosed with cone rod dystrophy. As a teenager, Lisa struggled with her vision loss and felt like a barrier when surrounded by her sighted peers. Eventually, she realized that it was an opportunity to educate and create change in the world. Lisa's athletic career began in high school with track and field, where she found solace and confidence in throwing events like discus and javelin. I really fell in love with the throwing events since you're in a very controlled environment, which is nice being visually impaired, says Lisa. When I competed, no one knew or looked at me like I was blind or visually impaired, and as a teenager, I wanted to blend in. Participating in track and field gave me the opportunity to grow in the area of self-confidence. So when Lisa was presented with opportunities to play adaptive sports like goalball, she was very resistant at first. Finally, in October 1995, while in high school, Lisa attended her first state goalball practice, and it was a pivotal experience for her. I had my own assumptions about blind and visually impaired sports, Lisa recalls, but when I walked into the goalball gym, my eyes were opened to a whole new world. Goalball is a summer Paralympic indoor sport, played exclusively by athletes who are blind or vision impaired. Goalball players wear blackout masks to play, and there are tactile lines on the court and on the hard rubber ball. It has 4 bells in it to help orient the players in the direction of the oncoming ball. The object of the game is to roll the ball into the opposite goal while opposing players try to block the ball with their bodies. Goalball scared me at first because I couldn't use my remaining vision, Lisa recalls. But after a few practices and mentorship from other athletes, I began to find that confidence within goalball, and it changed my life and helped me to accept my vision loss. Lisa's dedication and talent quickly caught the attention of national coaches, leading to her recruitment for the national team and a journey that has spanned over 2 decades, consisting of 6 Paralympic Games, and becoming a 5-time Paralympic medalist, 1 gold, 3 silvers, and 1 bronze. Training for the Paralympics is rigorous, involving multiple weekly sessions on the goalball court, strength and conditioning, and cardio and agility training. Although 2024 has been a challenging year without qualifying for the Paris Games, Lisa remains focused and motivated for the 2028 Paralympics. You need to experience challenges and struggles to achieve success, says Lisa. Just like vision loss, those challenges are part of what makes you stronger. Don't let your vision loss be a barrier to anything. As a natural ambassador for athletes with disabilities, Lisa continues to advocate for inclusivity and opportunity in sports. I feel proud to be a Paralympian and represent Team USA in the Paralympics for so many years, says Lisa. It's an honor that I'm so proud and appreciative of, and I strive to have that honor every 4 years. To learn more about goalball or other sports for the blind and visually impaired, check out the United States Association of Blind Athletes, USABA, website at the hotlink. Also from fightingblindness.org, wet AMD treatment, SUSVIMO, S-U-S-V-I-M-O, preserves vision for 5 years in Phase 3 clinical trial. Genentech reported that SUSVIMO maintained vision for people with wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD, enrolled in the 5-year Phase 3 PORTAL clinical trial. Susvimo was approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, in 2021. Data from the ongoing PORTAL trial gives investigators additional information about the treatment's long-term safety and efficacy. Susvimo uses a port delivery system, PDS, a refillable capsule the size of a rice grain, to provide continual release of ranibizumab, ranibizumab, a protein that blocks the growth of vision-robbing leaky blood vessels, which are the hallmark of wet AMD. The PDS is implanted at the surface of the eye during a one-time outpatient surgical procedure. In the PORTAL trial, the PDS was refilled twice a year. Approximately 95% of patients did not require supplemental treatment. Susvimo reduces the treatment burden associated with other wet AMD therapies, which require regular injections into the vitreous, the soft gel in the middle of the eye. PORTAL, which enrolled 352 people, is a long-term extension of the Phase 3 Archway clinical trial and comprised two cohorts. One cohort of 220 participants was initially treated with Susvimo in Archway and continued Susvimo treatment. The mean best-corrected visual acuity, BCVA, for those participants was 74.4 letters, about 20 over 60 at baseline, and 67.6 letters, about 20 over 90 at 5 years. The other cohort of 132 participants was initially treated with intravitreal injections of ranibizumab in Archway before switching to Susvimo. Their BCVAs were 76.3 letters at baseline and 68.6 letters at 5 years. Half of all PORTAL participants had better than 20/40 vision at 5 years. Genentech said the cohort of people who entered the PORTAL study from Archway is the largest cohort of people with wet AMD to be followed prospectively and continuously for 5 years in a clinical study. Learn more about AMD by visiting the AMD section of the Foundation's website at the hot link. From PreventBlindness.org, 5 ways to help prevent vision loss from diabetes. While there is no cure for diabetes, it is possible to help prevent or delay vision and other health issues associated with this condition. Here are 5 ways to help prevent vision loss from diabetes. Getting dilated eye exams. Dilated eye exams are important for both types of diabetes. If a child in your care has a diabetes-related eye disease, treatment may help or prevent their vision from getting worse. What is a dilated eye exam? A dilated eye exam uses eye drops to dilate, widen, the opening in the front of the eye called the pupil. Dilation allows the eye doctor to see into the back of the eye where the retina is located. This is an important step during an eye exam for youth living with diabetes. The eye drops do not cause pain but may sting for a minute or two after being put in the eye. The side effects of the eye drops may include blurry vision, especially up close, and a sensitivity to light. The side effects generally last a few hours. If getting a dilated eye exam is not possible, an eye screening is using a special camera that takes pictures of the retina without dilation can be done instead. Focusing on preventive care. It is key a child in your care has regular checkups with a primary care physician who monitors their blood glucose levels and follows the diabetes treatment program as prescribed. Talk to your child's care team, pediatric endocrinologist, pediatrician, diabetes educator, nutritionist, or registered dietitian, if you have any questions or concerns. Engaging in physical activity. Encourage a child in your care to get or stay active in something they enjoy. I ran out of time this week for today's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, NC Reading Service.